Let's go over to 3 John tonight. Would you go there with me for just a little while tonight? I'll try not to keep you too long. My wife said that's the worst mistake you can make, is to say something like that. But anyway, that's the truth tonight. 3 John, and let me check my phone. I don't recall turning it off, and I don't want to be embarrassed. It wasn't off by a call in the middle of the service. Amen. 3 John, I believe, is where we're going to go tonight, and I'll just give you some things that the Lord spoke to my heart about. The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom, if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well, because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such, that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Let me just say something tonight. Have you ever known a Christian, and you've known them well enough to know that if somebody can't get along with that man or that woman, they've got a bad problem? How many knows what I just said? I feel that way about John. I feel like, boy, if you can't get along with him and you can't receive him, you've got a bad problem. This is the one, when he would talk of himself, he wouldn't even mention his own name. He would say that other disciple. He wouldn't say that disciple that loved Jesus. He'd say that disciple whom Jesus loved. Amen. And I just feel like old Diotrephes here, he's got him a problem. He can't get along with John. He's in bad shape. And he, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. By the way, I believe when a man like Diotrephes got in the presence of a man like John, it brought conviction to him. Amen. Because here's a man that wants Jesus to have the preeminence, John. And another man comes along and he's wanting to have the preeminence himself. He said, wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. Demetrius hath good report of all men and of the truth itself. Yea, we also bear record, and ye know that our record is true. I had many things to write, but I will not with ink and pen write unto thee. But I trust I shall shortly see thee, and we shall speak face to face. Peace be to thee. Our friends salute thee. Greet the friends by name. If correctly read, that's the 14 verses that make up the third epistle of John. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we're grateful tonight for the privilege to gather and hear the old songs. Lord, I'm glad we have victory in Jesus tonight. I'm glad, Lord, we are, as God's people, nearing the shore. I pray, Father, tonight that you'd help us to be about your business till you come. Help us, Lord, to occupy till you come. Lord, we know tonight that, Lord, Bible school coming up, it's going to be a busy time, and, Lord, a lot of preparation. And, Lord, we're just grateful. God, we could be a church where there are no children running around. Lord, we're grateful there's children running around everywhere, hearing about Jesus, hearing about the cross, hearing about an empty tomb, hearing about a Savior that loves them and gave his life for them. Lord, tonight I pray that you'd guard our church. I pray, God, that you would guide our church. And I pray, Lord, that you'd help us, Lord, tonight to glean truth from this passage that would help us in our daily life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I want to speak to you tonight about this fourth verse and try to incorporate some things from this entire book of 3 John. The fourth verse said, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Now, John is approaching this like a pastor would. He's away from his people, but he's getting word. He's keeping up with them. If you'll notice the life of the Apostle Paul was like that. Just because he was somewhere else didn't mean he wasn't caring for them over there at Ephesus or over there at Philippi, or that he wasn't caring for Timothy, that he wasn't caring for Titus, that he wasn't caring even for the carnal church over at Corinth that was having all kinds of problems, amen. And so here you see the pastor's heart, and it brings joy, great joy. He said, no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Now, I don't know about you tonight, but us that have been blessed and God's given us children, when we hear a good report, that's a blessing, amen. When maybe they don't know we're watching, and we see them do something that's honorable, or hear them say something that's honorable, or watch them act in a way that brings glory and honor to the Lord, or even honors the family. I remember my dad teaching me when I was a teenager. He said, son, we don't have much. He said, we probably never will have much. He said, but son, we have a good name. He said, I beg you, son, don't drag our name in the dirt. Don't drag our name in the mud. And there was good advice, wasn't it? Amen. I tell you, if you've got a good name, you've got something that's precious. Amen. And I thank the Lord for that. I'm going to give you some things tonight. I think four things that the Lord spoke to my heart about. There's truth. No greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. The first thing I want you to see tonight, if you look here in verse number 2, it said, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. I don't have to tell you tonight. You probably already know. There are people that take that one verse of Scripture, and they're going to teach you that if you love God and your soul is prospering, that you're not going to be sick, you're not going to ever have cancer, you're not ever going to have an operation, all that stuff. And we know that's just not true. There are some godly individuals in this Bible that suffered greatly, amen? And so the truth, the first truth I wanted to show you is concerning our flesh, or our body, if you please. There's nothing wrong, beloved, with John rejoicing and John wishing or praying above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health. I'm going to tell you something right now. God wants us to take care of the temple of the Holy Spirit. Amen. He wants us to take care of our body. And I know this tonight, I'm not going to preach to anybody else, but I don't always do a real good job at that. There's sometimes I don't rest like I should. There's sometimes I don't exercise like I should. There's sometimes I don't eat like I should. Am I alone in this congregation? Or is there anybody else home tonight? Amen. And sometimes we don't do what we should do is concerning the temple. But the truth concerning our body is it belongs to the Lord. The Bible said, 1 Corinthians 6:15. By the way, let me bring something to you real quickly. There's a dear lady, Sister Margaret, that I love dearly. And she's suffering with cancer. And she was telling me how that she exercised daily and a routine daily. I know she watches what she eats. And all I'm saying is this. Listen, I'm not putting it off and saying we shouldn't take care. We should. But I'm telling you one thing. This body, the best you can take care of, it's not going to last forever down here. Amen. But we should take care of it the best that we can. I remember her sharing that
with Miss Eve and I not too long ago. The Bible said, know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? God forbid. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to a harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own? That's the truth concerning our flesh. It doesn't belong to us anymore. It belongs to him. Know ye not that you're the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, whose temple ye are. You say, preacher, I never hear that verse read anymore. It's still in the Bible, and we're still going to read it. Amen. I believe it's truth that God is trying to help us. And John had great joy knowing that his children walk in truth. Now listen to the preacher. Listen to the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. He said, but I keep under my body. Here's a man of God. He said, I keep under my body and I bring it into subjection. Let me say something. Either we better keep under our body or our body will keep us under. Somebody help me tonight. And that's what Paul understood. Paul understood, I'm saved, I'm heaven bound with a hammer down, but I've still got a body and I've still got flesh. And let me say something tonight that a lot of people won't say, but the flesh is capable of anything after an individual gets saved that it was before that individual got saved. The flesh is capable, and we see that many times over and over in the Bible. Samson, that great man of God, that had that great power of God upon him, and played and played and played till he didn't even wist. The Bible said he wist not that the Spirit of God had departed from him. He thought he would go out and shake himself just like he always did and whoop the Philistines. Ended up with his eyes gouged out. Ended up down in the dungeon. Ended up grinding in the meal house. You know the story, amen. I tell you, if the devil had his way, he'd had every man of God grinding in the prison house, amen. Every child of God as well. The truth concerning our flesh. He said, lest I bring it into subjection. Lest that any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. I'm just going to give you this, interject this right here tonight. I feel the need to. There are people that have gone down through the years, fallen into sin, that don't believe what we believe concerning the Bible. But they still name the name of Christ. And you listen to me and hear me well right here. We should never gloat. We should never glory in the fall of an individual, whether they believe like we do or not. Because I'm going to tell you, without a shadow of doubt, the cause of Christ is hindered and the cause of Christ is hurt when anybody that's naming the name of Christ goes astray. Amen. It's hurt. The cause is damaged. So there's truth. No greater joy than to hear they walk in truth. The truth concerning our flesh. Let me give you this secondly tonight. The truth concerning our faith. I see several things here tonight in this chapter in the Word of God, in this little book of 3 John. The first thing I see is that our faith is revealed in our walk. The Bible said here, the Bible said in verse 3, for I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in truth. Let me say something tonight. There's a gospel that's been preached for years that teaches, my friend, you can get your heart right without getting your feet right. And I just don't believe that. I believe, my friend, if we get our heart right, if we get saved by the grace of God, it will change our walk. Amen. I believe that. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. That doesn't mean the believer won't stumble. That doesn't even believe that the believer won't fall at times. The just man falleth 7 times and riseth up again. That's what the Word of God said. But this pastor, John, he had great joy to hear that his children walked in the truth. I believe, listen, if we believe right, I believe we'll want to behave right. I believe it'll change us. I believe if we have a relationship with God, it'll change our, I believe our feet won't carry us to the places that they used to carry us. Help me tonight. Amen. I believe our feet will carry us to the house of God. I've said many times, if people, they can't even make it to church, what makes them think, my friend, that a faith that won't take them to church will take them to heaven? What makes them think that? My friend, it's revealed in our walk. Our faith is revealed in our walk. And then you come on down here. The Bible said, we have borne witness of thy charity. I believe our faith is revealed in our witness. I believe our lips witness. That's what we say. But I believe our life witnesses louder than what our lips witness. I believe we should witness with our lips. I believe we should witness with our literature. I believe we should witness with our life. Amen. I believe they all go hand in hand. Beloved, I believe tonight that it's a good thing that the truth concerning their witness was coming out. He said, beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren. Look at verse 5. And, see that? To, help me right there, strangers. Let me say something about Bible Way. This is what I've witnessed over the past 3 years. And I pray it stays that way. Strangers are welcome around here. Help me tonight. I tell you, if we ever form a little circle in our church and dare somebody to break in, God's blessings will fly out of this place. The children are welcome. Their moms are welcome. Their dads are welcome. And I thank God that this pastor here, he heard about their witness. Amen. The word of God said here, beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers. Listen, right here in within miles, just a few miles of our church, I've heard stories where people visited a church. Listen, my wife and I, we visited a lot of churches when I was with Rock of Ages Prison Ministry. I thank God that it didn't happen very often. But there were some, Brother Grizzle, we went into and we had to look and see if we had spots on us or something. It was like we had the plague. And then when they found out I was a missionary, the plague got worse. Like, what in the world is he doing here? That's sad. The word of God said here, what they were doing, they were not showing respect of person. They were acting one way towards the brethren, and they were acting the same way towards the strangers. Amen. You remember what Jesus said? I was a stranger and you took me in. You remember that? And they said, Lord, when did we take you? And he said, as much as you've done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. And I like that tonight. Amen. I like that. The truth concerning our faith. Our faith is revealed in our walk. It's revealed in our witness, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well, because for his name's sake they went forth taking nothing of the Gentiles. Thank God for the witness that this church had. Amen. And then not only is the faith, the truth of the faith revealed in our walk and revealed in our witness, but it's revealed in our works. The word of God talks about here, beloved, thou doest faithfully. You see, the Bible, I believe that it was in the bulletin this morning where it talked about be not hearers of the word only, but be ye doers of the word. I think that was one of the little puzzles in the bulletin this morning as I looked at it. And so these people were not hearers only. The Bible declares that faith without works is dead, being alone. And so they had charity. They had love that caused them to walk right. It caused them to work right. And it caused them to witness for the Lord. I'll give you this little story and I'll go on to the third thing in the message. A young boy on an errand for his mother had just bought a dozen eggs. Walking out of the store, he tripped and dropped the sack. By the way, Miss Eve, the other day I opened the refrigerator and I dropped a dozen eggs. You say, why didn't you tell her? There was no loss. I couldn't believe it. That whole dozen eggs hit the floor. They was in that little carton. I opened it up. I didn't look close for cracks. If there's not egg yolks running everywhere, who cares if one's cracked? But I couldn't believe that they survived the fall. But they did, amen. And sometimes, you know, when Charity and two babies move in, and you know, sometimes the refrigerator's got milk here and milk here and milk here. And how many knows what I just said? And milk there. And then you open the freezer and there's milk here and milk here, milk here. That's, some of you mamas know what's going on anyway, amen. But a young boy on an errand for his mama, he bought a dozen eggs. Walking out the door, he tripped and he dropped the sack. All the eggs broke and the sidewalk was a mess. The boy tried not to cry. A few people gathered to see if he was okay and to tell him how sorry they were. In the midst of the works of pity, one man handed the boy a quarter. Then he turned to the group and said, "I care 25 cents worth. How much do the rest of you care?" How many sees the illustration right there? James 2 and 16 points out that words don't mean much if we have the ability to do more. Amen. I tell you, it's sad. But sometimes, and I believe, Brother Brian, going back to that lesson on overcharged, I believe sometimes we're too busy to even care 25 cents worth. When God might have a real blessing, He might have somebody we could care $25 worth for and help them along the way. We just slow down and see the blessings that we're passing up. So we see the truth concerning our flesh, the truth concerning our faith. I'm going to give you this now, third thing tonight, the truth concerning our fellow helpers. They're good and bad. In verse number 11, the Bible said, "Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good." This goes along with something I've said for years. Doesn't matter where you go. You can go over to Indian Path, Johnson City Medical Center. You can go to Sullivan North. You can go to Sullivan South. You can go to Bible Way. I don't know where that crowd is around Bible Way. If I ever find out, I'll tell you. But about anywhere you go, listen to me carefully, there'll be a right crowd and a wrong crowd. There'll be a crowd that's building up, and there'll be a crowd that's tearing down. Am I right or am I wrong? You can go to work. You can work at the Eastman Chemical Company. Where's another big place in Kingsport? You can work at Walmart. It doesn't matter where you go. There'll be a right crowd and a wrong crowd. I promise you that. I'll promise you that. There's something here. The truth concerning our fellow helpers. You say, "Well, preacher, what is it about?" Well, Jesus said, "You're either for me or you're against me. You're either gathering into my sheepfold or you're scattering abroad." I think they believe they're just living in a neutral way. But according to the Bible, there is no such way to live. We're either gathering in or we're scattering abroad. The truth concerning our fellow helper. There's a good kind. Look at verse number 1. Here's the good kind of fellow helper. "The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth." How do you know he was the good kind? Well, John loved him. And John said, "Listen, it's not just superficial. We've got something between us called a Bible. It's the truth. And we have fellowship in the truth." By the way, I'll say this. It's always a blessing when you can meet somebody along life's way that loves Jesus, and it don't take you 30 minutes to know, hallelujah, they've got something you've got. Amen. And there's fellowship around the truth of the Word of God. And that's what was going on here. If you look at verse number 8, the Bible said, "Wherefore you ought to receive such, that we might be fellow helpers to the truth." Look at verse number 12. "Demetrius hath a good report of all men." What about that? That's a huge statement tonight. He's got a good report. This man's not one way at church and another way at work and another way at the Walmart. Everywhere you see him, he's the same. He has a good report among all men and of the truth itself. And we also bear record, and you know that our record is true. And so there's that fellow helper. There's the good kind. But then there's the bad kind. In verse number 9, "I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Wherefore, if I come. Let me give you an example tonight. What if, let's just say Brother Mitchell, he writes to the church often. This letter, I think it's still down here that Brother Rose wrote. What if somebody was so sick in their spirit? Here's somebody writing to the church, wanting to encourage the church, wanting to thank the church. What if somebody was so sick in their spirit that they wanted all the attention around the church, so they just took those letters and just tore them up, threw them away, because that's going to bring attention away from them. That's how sick this man is. He doesn't even want to hear what John has to say. He wants to be the big shot. He doesn't want Jesus to be exalted. He wants to exalt himself. And the Word of God said, when you do that, you will be abased. He said, wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. This man's got a bad, bad problem. Let me tell you something right now. When you're looking at fellow helpers, you're looking for people that are loyal. You're looking for people of a like mind and a like spirit. You're looking for somebody that's going to get in the yoke and pull in the same direction Jesus is going. That's why Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The Bible said, I've heard people say, oh, it's just so hard to serve God. The Bible said the way of a transgressor is hard. Jesus said if we just get in the yoke with him and quit trying to pull against him, we'd be going in the same direction. We'd be going at the same speed. And it would be a blessing to be a fellow helper with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. As well as one another. So there's that bad kind. He said, beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. And then let me give you this, and I'm done for this evening. The truth not only concerning our flesh, the truth concerning our faith, the truth concerning our fellow helpers. I'd like for the young people to especially listen to me right here tonight. Not only high school, but on down. I tell you, we need to listen to the truth concerning our friends. Watch what the Bible said here in verse number 14. John said, but I trust that I shall see thee shortly. I shall shortly see thee, and we shall speak face to face. Peace be to thee. And then he said, our friends. Do you know how precious it is to have friends? He said, our friends salute thee. Greet the friends by name. Now, I want to say this. Sometimes it's hard to learn names, but we ought to keep working at it. Don't give up. Amen. I tell you, I had a lot more pride than I've got these days, but nowadays I just keep asking. I can't even remember the family's name. Brother Steve and Sister Wanda, and they'd sit right over here in the middle, and the children's name, I thought I had them learned, and I got one of them right this morning. Can't recall it right now. But that's, I'm going to keep working at it. I'm going to tell you something right now. There's just something about knowing somebody's name. Amen. Being a friend to somebody and knowing and learning their name. The Bible said here, our friends salute thee. And I thank God that John, having stood the way that John stood with the Lord, and for the Lord, he still had some friends. You know what the devil told a lot of us? Listen to me. He said, you're going to have to give up some friends if you go down this road. How many can help me right here tonight? Honey, what I've gained wouldn't hold a candle to what I gave up. Somebody help me tonight. I'm talking about the right kind of friends. Friends in God's family. Friends that's going to the city of God. Friends that want to build me up, not tear me down. Friends that are there whether I've got money or not. I had a lot of them fair weather friends growing up. I wanted to be cool. I wanted to be popular. But I'm going to tell you something right now. When you get in the family of God, you can just be yourself. We're all different. We don't have to mimic one another. Years ago, I think Brother John told me, Brother Jack told him, said, Brother John, just be yourself. That's good advice. Youngins, just be yourself. God made you. Just like he made Daniel. He had a purpose for Daniel's life, and he's got a purpose for your life. He wants to save you. He wants to use you for his kingdom and for his name's sake. I read this story. I will close with this tonight. I thought it was wonderful. I want you to listen carefully, if you will. I think Brother Brian, it just happened. I didn't remember that our Bible school was about Olympics when I read it. But Jesse Owens, he seemed sure to win the long jump at the 1936 Games. The year before, he had jumped 26 feet, 8 1/4 inches, a record that would stand for 25 years. That's a long way to jump. That means get your 25-foot tape measure out, stretch it out here on the floor as far as it'll go, and jump about a foot further than that. I don't know about you, but even you long-legged fellas, I don't believe can do that. Amen. That's a long way to jump. Brother John, that's at least from here to that flag over there, ain't it? 25 feet. 26 feet's what this man jumped. Listen to the story. As he walked to the long jump pit, however, Owens, he saw a tall, blue-eyed, blonde German taking practice jumps in the 26-foot range. In other words, he's nipping at his heels as he practiced. Owens, he felt nervous. He was acutely aware of the Nazis' desire to prove Aryan superiority, especially over blacks. At this point, the tall German introduced himself as Luz Long. "You should be able to qualify with your eyes closed," he said to Owens, referring to his two jumps. For the next few moments, the black son of a sharecropper and the white model of Nazi manhood chatted back and forth. Then Long made a suggestion. Since the qualifying distance was only 23 feet, 5 1/2 inches, he said to Owens, "Why not make a mark several inches before the takeoff board and jump from there just to play it safe?" He makes this suggestion to the man that's already set this record. "You've only got to go 23 feet, 5 1/2 inches to qualify. So why take a chance, Brother Brian, on stepping on that line when I can see you're already jumping that much further than what it takes to qualify?" I didn't know how to take this when I read it. I didn't know where it was going. It's an unusual turn. He said here, Owens did what was suggested, and he qualified easily. In the finals, Owens set an Olympic record and earned the second of 4 gold medals. The first person to congratulate him was Luz Long, that Nazi that had talked with him. Listen to this. In full view of Adolf Hitler, Owens never again saw Long. He was killed in World War II. This is what Owen said. "You could melt down all the medals and cups that I have." And he later wrote, "And they would not even be a plating on the 24-karat friendship that I felt for Luz Long." That speaks to my heart. I thank God for the friends that God has given me in my life. I read this story. I'm not going to say the man's last name. It's going out over the internet. It wouldn't matter, I don't reckon, but without his permission, I wouldn't say his last name. And I'm not making up the story. Miss Eve will know when I say his first name exactly who he is. She's met him. Years ago, my boy was little. And myself and my son, Jeremy, we got to shooting in archery tournaments. And Jeremy was pretty good. He was in the Cub division. I went down to a place in North Carolina. I can't remember the name of the place now. It's a real common, big archery shoot. And I'm not saying this to boast, but I was pretty good at it. In 2,200 shooters, I placed third. I didn't win, but I'm just a country boy, amen. And I didn't have the best equipment, but I made do with what I had. And I enjoyed it. My boy and I got to do it together. My boy would shoot in that Cub division, and he ended up one day, we were shooting in a state tournament in Jonesville, Virginia. You had to shoot 40 targets. They are the animal targets. It looks just like a turkey or just like a coyote or just like a deer or just like a black bear standing up. You could not use range finders. You had to guess the distance to the animal. And then you had to, at that time, this was a IBO shoot. You couldn't even use binoculars. In other words, you couldn't, in the ASA shoots, you could use binoculars and you could see the rings on the target. You had on some of the targets a 12 ring, a 10 ring, an 8 ring. If you hit the animal anywhere, it was a 5. And if you missed it, it was a 0 if your arrow missed it. I'm going somewhere tonight. My boy was shooting with a man, and he'd come around one day after we had to, it was a state shoot, so they didn't let the boy shoot with the dad. You got names picked out of hats. You didn't know who you'd end up with. And my boy said to me, 10 years old, he said, "Dad," he said, "I'm a smooth tater." I said, "Son, what are you talking about?" And the man that was standing with him, Brother Gary, he said, "I've watched that boy shoot that release. It was called a Stanislavski. It had a little half moon key in it. And you pulled the bow back. And then you held on the target and you rotated that release. You had no idea when it was going to go off." And that boy of mine would be so relaxed that many shots he would just lay the release in the leaves right behind him. So one of the men that was in his group nicknamed him Smooth Tater. We're in this archery shoot. Can't use binoculars. This man's name was Moses. I thought about this, Miss Eve. You know who I'm talking about, don't you? I believe I could call that man tonight. Say, "Moses, I need this or I need that." I believe he'd come running. Well, we met in this state tournament in Jonesville, Virginia. I didn't know at the time, but later on, I learned that people even kept different color nocks on their arrows for different color animals. They had a black nock for a black animal. In other words, when you shot it, you couldn't see the arrow sticking in the target because it was a distinct advantage to the person shooting behind you to know that maybe Brother Steve, they could shoot a little higher, a little lower, a little right, a little left, and be in good shape. We had these cards that we carried that showed where the rings were on the target. You had to study the target because if they angled the target a little bit, that changed the way everything was appearing. There was a turkey. The target was a turkey. It was back under some pine trees. It was in the dark. And one of the fellas, actually two of the fellas, had already shot. And I looked at Moses. We're competing very closely, one with another. And I looked at Moses and I said, "Moses, I'm being honest. I have no idea where the 10 ring is on that turkey. The 8 ring was about as big as the end of that box, just oval. But the 10 ring was about as big as a silver dollar in the middle of that 8 ring. And the turkey, the whole animal, ain't very big. I think I've got the distance down, but I have no idea. That thing's sitting up in there dark. I have no idea what to do." And Moses, I said, Moses, I have no idea. And Moses said to me, he said, Rick, do you see this man's arrow? I said, yes, sir. He said, I believe if you'll go about 2 inches above that, and about 2 inches, this man had been doing it a lot longer than I'd been doing it. He said, if you'll go about 2 inches above that and about 2 inches to the right, he said, I believe you'll be in good shape. I said, okay, Moses. I stepped up to the stake and I shot that arrow. Mine was orange at the time with red fletchings on it. Honey, it looked like a neon light bulb up under there shining. He said, I believe you're in good shape, Rick. He shot his arrow, and it happened that he even had mine to aim at, but he just didn't hit it. You don't always hit what you're aiming at. And walked up under that tree, Brother Rose, and I had the only 10 on that target. Brother Houston, I developed a friendship with that man that day. All he had to do was say, Rick, shoot right there where that arrow is. And if he wanted to be real mean, he could have said, shoot just about an inch below it. That would have put me in the 5. You understand? But he told me exactly what he would do and exactly what he thought was right. And I'll be honest with you. When I read that about these two men, I called him years later. He worked for a business over between Johnson City and Bristol. And there was a release aid that I was wanting to get a hold of. I'd seen one years ago, but nobody had one new. It was called a failsafe. And I wanted to try that release with the bow. And I said, Moses, you guys have any of those? He said, Rick, he said, we no longer sell those. He said, they're no longer made. He said, but I've got one back here in the desk drawer. He said, if you'll come over here, I'll give it to you. When they did sell them, they were $65 and $70 a piece. How many getting a picture tonight? It's just good to do right by people. And John understood here when he was talking about truth. There was truth in their friendships. They had one bad apple in the bunch, amen? And John was going to take care of that when he got there. I don't know how he did it, but I believe he did, don't you? But I believe with all of my heart tonight, there's no greater joy than to hear that God's children walk in truth. Truth concerning their flesh. Truth concerning their friendships. Truth concerning their fellow helpers, and truth concerning their faith. There's just no greater joy. Let's go out of here this week and ask God to help us to walk in truth. We met a lady today over at Lynn Garden Restaurant that waited on her table. And there's only so much you can do. But I tell you what I believe. I believe she knows where Bible Way is now. And I believe she knows there's people that go to Bible Way that care. She's got a 6-year-old daughter, right, Miss Eve? And she's been invited. And I believe that God wants us. Listen to me carefully right here. This is sometimes hard to discern. But he wants us to be a friend to sinners. Jesus was a friend. This young lady may not be a sinner. She's got a gospel tract to read. Left her a good tip. Invited her to the house of God. And God willing, we'll see her again. Amen. Amen. And so let's go out of here this week and just walk in truth. No greater joy. How many believes it brings joy to our Heavenly Father when He looks down and sees His children? Walking in truth, working in the truth, witnessing in the truth. Amen. God help us. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight for the Word of God. Thank you for John, Lord. He certainly was a great example for us. Lord, I guess I didn't think about it till just now, but even this message
could be titled John Saw. John saw some important truths being lived out in the people that he cared for. Help us, Lord, tonight to realize the opportunity that we have to bring great joy to your heart as we walk in the truth. I pray tonight, Father, if there's someone among us tonight that doesn't know you, Lord, they'd want to come over to the side of the truth. Lord, it's the truth tonight. Since I've been at Bible Way, I've never met one individual that wanted to have the preeminence. God, that's such a blessing. Lord, keep us that way, please. Help us, Lord, to walk humbly with our God. Realize, Lord, we're not the ones to be exalted, but our God, you are. You're the one that's worthy.